And we're back. What do you got, Tienz?
Whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, whatever the weather will weather the weather, whether we like it or not.
Ah, good one. I like that one.
You like that?
So you're reading them, dude, and I'm just coming off the top of my head. Freestyle. You're like a rapper that holds an iPad, and I'm a freestyler.
This is true, but have you ever been to open mic night and see how many people are reading lyrics off of their iPhones?
Are they really?
Days? Yeah.
Well, they're nervous, and they don't know. It's the first time on stage, and let me try one.
All right, go ahead.
I'm just going to get ready here. I wetted my whistle at the Wirtz house while women were whistling with me.
Whatever.
There you go. That was good. Got one more.
A skunk sat on a stump. The skunk thought the stump stunk. The stump thought the skunk stunk.
That's good. I like that one. A skunk sat on a stump.
The skunk
thought the stump stunk. The stump thought the skunk stunk. That's from memory. I don't know.
A big black bug bit a big black bear, and the big black bear bled blood.
Black blood.
Beautiful.
Beautiful black blood. The Dangerous Darren Show is on the air everywhere.
Yeah.
On the iTobi Radio Network. That is TS, my man, my muse, my life partner, my drinking partner, and he's a good guy. You can find him on Twitter at Burn H Wood Burn. I'm on Twitter at Darren99, and the show is at DangerousD_show. Today is April the 12th, 2016, show number 28 on the Adobe Radio Network. Got a good one for you, TS. TSN hockey analyst Bob McKenzie. He is up there in Canada, Toronto, covering all things NHL, and he is connected. He knows every player, every GM, every agent, every trainer, everybody in hockey. There's not one thing he doesn't know. He's a walking hockey encyclopedia, and I worked with him when I worked at TSN in Toronto for a spell. I had him on my show Sport Beats a few times talking hockey. And seeing as today is Tuesday and the playoffs start tomorrow, the NHL playoffs, which we'll get to in a minute, I want to have Bob McKenzie on, talk about the matchups, talk about some of the dark horses. We're going to talk about Eichel and the Buffalo Sabres. We're going to talk about McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. Lots to get to with Bob McKenzie, the hockey analyst for TSN. Also, we're going to play some music from Dangerous Darren.
What? For real?
The Wayne Gretzky song.
No way.
Yeah.
Do I appear on that one?
No.
No.
I appear on some other ones. But we're going to play the Wayne Gretzky song because it's a hockey day. It's a hockey theme. We're going to talk a lot about hockey. And that is that. Before we start, I'd like to say a big thank you to the people at Blue Microphones for the use of the Yeti Pros that we use every week. Thank you for the good folks at Blue. Love the mics. They sound great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hit them up on Twitter, at Blue Microphones. And, of course, the good folks at Roland_USA. That's Twitter, _USA, Roland there. And hit them up for the use of the sweet, sweet, sexy sounding and playing V drums. If you have neighbors and you don't want to piss them off, but you still want to play drums hard, get the V drums. I'm telling you, they are exquisite. And we are drinking, TS, something we haven't drunk or drinking. Is it drinking or drunk? Is it drunk?
Well, drunk is probably what we will
drunk.
Be.
Drunk.
Well,
we're going to be we drunk. We haven't drank
we have
this
not
liquid
drank. Yes.
In quite some time. Back in Buffalo, it was a mainstay.
A staple. Maybe even a food group.
It was fifth food group. Vegetables. Was for some vegetables and fruits. Dairies.
And dairy and
meats.
Meat and grains.
Grains. And then the fifth would be...
The fifth.
Old English.
Old English.
Old English 800 malt liquor. Cheers. Wow.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
slumming right now, buddy.
Oh, wow. Mm. TS will go stupid when he's full of eight ball.
You know what that tastes like? It tastes like the streets.
Well, that brings me back.
It tastes like 80s hip-hop.
Oh, wow. That is rough.
Actually, that is rough, but it's actually not that bad.
It's bad. It's kind of smooth.
We got some other beers as well. Lots to get to, TS, in the news. You might have heard that Eric Browersfield has passed away. He was the voice of Admiral Akbar on Return of the Jedi. He died at the young age of 93 years old, lived a good life, had a good voice actor career, and he had a little bit of an acting career as well. R.I.P. Eric Bauersfeld, for being the voice of Admiral Akbar on The Empire. No, sorry, he was on The Return of the Jedi, not Empire Strikes Back.
Was he, it's a trap.
That's him. There you go.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. That's him. That's him. Also, new Deftones record just came out. It's called Gore. I highly recommend everybody get it because I interviewed Chino the other day.
Okay.
And listened to a few tracks and actually quite a bit, like three or four. And they were, it's just amazing. I'm going to have Chino on a future show. And man, get the new Deftones record because to me, the Deftones are one of those bands that just can do no wrong. They're just so cool and so awesome. Every record they put out is better than the one before. And of course, much love and respect and heartfelt praise go out to Chi Chang, who passed away, unfortunately, from a car accident. He had a heart problem. And wear your seatbelt, people. Seriously. Like, that's how he got all those injuries, because he wasn't wearing
a seatbelt.
Went into a coma. I got out of a coma. Went back in. It had some more problem surgeries, and his heart just gave out. So Chi Chang, much love to you, to Chi.
Cheers, brother.
Love you, buddy, and miss you. But definitely get the new Deftones record. It's called Gore, and I love it. What about you? What happened this weekend, Jeff?
I just want to say Chi was one of the nicest guys in the world that you could ever meet.
Chi? Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. They all are.
They are. They're really cool guys, but he was super cool, down-earth, chill dude.
Do you know who took over his spot?
No, I do not.
Sergio Vega.
Really?
From Vegas, I think his name is.
From
Quicksand?
Yeah. Well, that seems like the perfect fit.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But Chi will always be remembered. New Deftones record, Gore. Definitely go out and get it. I played the Viper Room on Saturday ATS with Punk Rock Karaoke. And you weren't there.
How'd it go?
And
I was not there.
You were invited, though. No, actually, you weren't.
I was uninvited.
No, you were invited, but you just forgot. And I forgot to re-invite you. But yeah, it was great, man. The singers were there. They were doing their thing. And Soto and Hetson and Lee and Stan Lee from Dickies, everyone was there. It was just a lot of fun. And we're doing it again this coming Friday at the Viper Room with Rick Thorne, who was on this show recently.
Awesome.
And he's going to be there with his band singing songs. And then it's just going to be another gigantic punk rock karaoke shit show.
It's Friday.
This coming Friday, the 15th.
Well, this Friday and this weekend, I'll be at the World Cannabis Cup.
Oh, so you won't be there.
I won't be there. In lovely San Bernardino at the Orange Showgrounds.
Are you spending like a weekend there?
I'll be out there for the weekend.
Holy fuck. You're going to come back with a full report?
I will. I'll bring you the full weed report.
We got to get you one of those little cameras with a weed news like thing on it. You know,
yeah, with the little people. I should. We got a few days. Maybe we can get a little mic.
We got
to
step it up.
Start interviewing people.
We got to get a cameraman. We got to get you a cameraman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so what are the details on this? Where is it? And how can people go?
It's at the Orange Pavilion in lovely San Bernardino. Tickets are probably still available for the weekend. You know, there's going to be cannabis culture from around the world.
I think I've asked you this before about the Cannabis Cup, but is it okay to just smoke there?
If you're a medical patient in California, they have a medicating area, which is like most of the area where they check.
Which is the whole thing.
It's the whole thing, except for one small section. But if you didn't have your doctor's recommendation, it'd be almost pointless to go. Like, you could see the bands play on one stage, but you couldn't go into the rest of it. You might be able to ride the rides. But, you know, there's actually there's doctors standing by on site so you can get your recommendation.
Oh, my God. Doctor, I'm having anxiety. Here's your card. Doctor, I can't sleep. Here's your card. Doctor, I just want to get high. I have anxiety. Here's your card.
Just one after another. I think they'll write you a one-day recommendation.
I'm going to get my card.
That's crazy.
I just want to have a medical marijuana card.
You should just come out. You can come out on Sunday.
I can come on Sunday, yeah, because I got the punk rock karaoke show. And then I got a show on the day after, which is the Saturday, the 16th in Ventura at the Garage. So punk rock karaoke this weekend, Friday, Viper Room. Tickets are $10 at the door, or $12 at the door, $10 for advance. Rick Thorne's going to be there, our good friend. And then we're playing the next night, Saturday the 16th at the Garage in Ventura. Go check that out. And Sunday I'll be, headed out to see you at the... that thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you writing
down? I'm just crossing shit out.
Oh, okay. You're so organized.
I'm keeping my organization.
I'm like so unorganized. And I got here's a piece of news I want to share with everybody because it's hilarious. Let's see. Let's check this out. All Indiana right. State Trooper was fired. Trooper Brian Hamilton was fired from the Indiana State Troopers Corps for preaching when stopping people for violations. He was fired. He would stop people and he would preach the word of the Lord. And people are like, just give me my speeding ticket.
Yeah, and
they're like, well, did you know that your soul can be saved? You know, you can go to heaven and not hell because you're going to go to hell, you speeding bastard. You know, and he'd hand out little Bibles. And he'd hand out little, like, pamphlets, like little pamphlets you see. And
take this flower.
It wasn't like Christians. But he would preach, and he got warned, like, four times. Hey, you know, people are, like, pretty, like, bummed out that you're, like, shoving religion down people's throats when you stop them, so stop. He's like, yeah, okay, cool. And he didn't stop.
So he had complaints from citizens mm-hmm. that got pulled over, and they're like, this guy pulled me over for an illegal left, and he gave me a pamphlet and a Bible and a ticket.
And a ticket. Lose, lose, lose. Yeah, so that guy gets fired. Just give me the fucking ticket.
I don't need to hear your political agenda or your religious agenda. Let's give me a ticket and let me get the fuck out of here.
I got a ticket in Buffalo last summer on my way to camping up in Canada. And my brother, Todd, who's a fire chief, knew a state trooper who knew the state trooper that pulled me over. And I got out of it. Actually, not out of it. I paid a $25 parking fee.
Oh, look at you. Connected.
And no points. Nothing. And the guy that pulled me over was such an asshole.
Was this in Buffalo? Outside of Buffalo?
No, just on the 290 on the way to Niagara Falls.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you cross Sheridan at the UB right there, like right in that little stretch. I was totally speeding. Like, he dinged me. I was on my phone and speeding.
The usual scenario.
That's what you do. Did you know, TS? Here's an interesting fact for you. Let me find it. Oh shit, I don't have one. I'm gonna make one up.
Okay.
This is how prepared I am.
Good work. Hey, hold on. You know,
why don't you go first?
Let's do this. Okay, here, I got one for you. I actually got I brought two today.
Well, I can't give you the other one, but you give me two. How's that? I'll take the week off.
All right, go ahead and take the week off. Go ahead and clock out.
Click, click, click.
Hashtag, did you know it is legal for women to walk around topless in New York?
Also Toronto.
I did not.
Look at you.
Coming out in a pinch. Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing. Anywhere where it's appropriate for a man to be topless, women can do the same. I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too. To a limit. Some girl's like in her 60s and got flappy boobies and they're onto the ground. I don't really want
to
see that.
You know, you got to take the good with the bad. Have you been to the beaches in Europe? There's some good and there's some bad.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have the facts of life.
Oh, my God.
Give me some more liquor.
All right.
Por favor.
There we go. Let's finish this off.
We're going to finish this off. Oh, my God.
You know,
is that the other do you know, or is that the only one?
No, I've got another one. You'd be happy to know that Old English is now served in shatterproof glass. Or actually, it's not glass, it's plastic.
Well, finish it off. Don't leave it in there.
All right, top me off. Okay. Right. Are you ready for this?
Second one. Yeah, I'm taking a week off.
All right. Okay, hashtag did you know that Merle Haggard died on the same day that he was born?
Yeah, April 6th.
April 6th.
That's right. I was going to talk about Merle Haggard a little bit in music news, but isn't that sad that I mean, he was a bit older. He was 79, 80 years old, but sad. And, dude, if you read about the guy, he was a fucking criminal. He spent time in prison.
Oh, yeah.
He was in San Quentin for a while.
He's the real deal.
He went from jail to jail to jail to prison to jail to other jails to work furloughs to other prisons. And then finally, someone gave him a guitar. It's like, maybe you should write some tunes.
Got a lot to say.
With other writers, and then boom, the rest is history. But yeah, he was the original outlaw.
He had like 30 hits.
Well, he's known like for 30 the Okie from hits. Muskogee was his big hit.
That was the biggest one, but he had a lot of charts.
I'll always be an Okie from Muskogee. Place where even squares can have a ball. God, I don't even remember that. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse.
They still do.
What's the last line? We still wave old glory down at the courthouse. Oh, fuck. I can't remember the fourth line. It's going to kill me. Let's play some music, Jess.
All right. Let's get
to it. I wrote
this
song. It's called The Only Man I'd Have Sex With.
Okay.
But then it got changed into just Wayne Gretzky, the Wayne Gretzky song. And Gretzky's heard it, and it freaks him out like it should. And I'm still waiting for Wayne Gretzky to call me. And his publicist actually said to me, he tried calling you, but he couldn't get through. And I did get a call recently, like over the past 10 days.
Really?
By an unknown blocked number. But it probably
and you
was
didn't
his.
Answer it.
Wayne Gretzky called me and got my voicemail.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So he's going to try me again. And when I see unknown, I'm going to answer it.
You have to.
You'd be like, Wayne? Anyway, I wrote the song. It's an acoustic song. It's about the only man I'd have sex with, and that is Wayne Gretzky. It's Dangerous Darren. Music from Dangerous Darren.
Ladies and gentlemen, music by Dangerous Darren.
On the Dangerous
on
Darren
the Danger
Show.
On the Dangerous Darren Show.
Wayne Gretzky. The only man I'd have sex with, Wayne Gretzky. I'd be intimate with Wayne Gretzky. I think he's kinda sexy, Wayne Gretzky. I wonder what he looks like naked. Oh, wonder what it would be like to have sex with the great one. Oh, wonder what it would be like to have sex with the least leading scorer, Wayne Gretzky. I know he's a married man, but maybe he'd be attracted to me, Darren Pfeiffer. Stupid American boy, Wayne Gretzky. Very handsome Canadian man. Oh, wonder what it would be like to have sex with the great one. Oh, wonder what it would be like to have sex with the league's leading scorer.
Yeah, I wonder what it'd be like. It'll never happen. It's a pipe dream. Wait a minute. I'm not even gay. I'm married. Whatever.
Wayne Gretzky, I love you, Wayne Gretzky, yeah.
There you go. The only man I'd have sex with, a.k.a. the Wayne Gretzky song. And if you're wondering, yes, the sentiment still rings true. If the opportunity presented itself to have sex with Wayne Gretzky, I would take it.
Are you going to mention this during the interview?
No.
Okay. I would keep that under wraps.
He's happily married to Janet Jones, and they've got lovely children and a lovely life, and I highly doubt he finds me sexually attractive or is gay at all. So it's not going to happen.
Wow.
If Wayne Gretzky came up to me and said, punch yourself in the face, I'd punch myself in the face. If he said, hey, see that guy over there? That guy TS? Stab him. I'd stab you.
Oh, man.
I'd do whatever Wayne says. Wayne's my muse.
All right. Well,
let's get into sports, Jess. Lots to talk about. Jordan Spieth and the Masters. First of all, congrats to Danny Willett for not winning the Masters. He basically was handed to him because Jordan Spieth blew it on the 12th hole when he put a couple balls in the water, and I believe it was a quadruple bogey.
Yeah, it was a par three, short par three. I think he put two balls in the water, so he had to take a penalty. That's two penalty strokes right there. you know, okay, this hole is, golf is a mental game. And, you know, Jack Nicklaus said that that is the most dangerous par three in the game right there.
The 12 at Augusta?
Yes.
We got to go play it.
Go stink it up.
Yeah, right. But man, that guy, I mean, seriously, he must be like in a world of agony today. Like all week long. Shit, for months he's just going to be like, oh, I had that green jacket in my hand. He led wire to wire right from the beginning to where you know, right into that 12th hole on Sunday. And he literally blew it. I feel bad for the guy. I know he's got a lot of golf ahead of him and he's got a bright, bright future and he's going to do just fine. But man, oh man, the world's watching you and you put two balls in the water on a par three.
You know, okay, that's good for the game of golf because it just proves that any day, any professional golfer can stink it up just as bad as we do.
So, cheers to that. Cheers. Old English. Cheers to that. So again, congrats to Danny Willett and Jordan Spieth will be back. Will Smith, retired defensive back for the New Orleans Saints, was shot after an altercation with another driver, a road rage incident.
It was a traffic accident. He got rear-ended.
Not that bad. And yeah. I guess he got out and their words were exchanged, and the guy shot him and killed him and injured his wife.
Yeah. So there were lots of shots fired, and it was basically a minor traffic accident, which is like, man, you know, who knows what he said?
But there's a side story to this, T.S. Apparently, sure, the guy who was arrested, can't remember his name, but big thug, was arrested. Apparently, there's some history between the guy who was shot and Will Smith's dad, who was shot by police. The thug's dad was shot by police, and Will Smith was involved somehow. Like, his dad was involved somehow. So there's a connection. The police are thinking, detectives are thinking there may be some tie to this. It wasn't just a...
It wasn't random.
It wasn't random, exactly. It wasn't just a road rage incident gone bad. So stay tuned for that, folks. And Dodgers start their season with three straight shutout wins against the Padres. And now they're stinking up the joint. They dropped 3 of 4 in San Francisco. And today is their home opener, Tuesday, in Los Angeles. We have to find a way to go. So how are we going to get in? Go.
Hot dog vendors. Bat boys? We dress as bat boys.
Let's sneak in.
We sneak in as bat boys.
But what's going on with the Dodgers? I mean, their pitching's blowing it. And in those San Francisco games, T.S., you watched a few of them, I'm sure, or all of them.
I was listening.
They had 4-0 lead, 5-0 lead. They had leads.
They had, yeah.
Comfortable leads, and they blew it.
Well,
they Jordan Spieth'd it. They Munson'd it.
First, they blew out San Diego, shut them out, and we all felt great. And it was... you know, I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, it's a good start, but it's just the Padres. The Padres stink. We destroyed a terrible team.
Yeah.
They have a few good players. They all do. And they're going to make some wins. But we destroyed a terrible team in the Padres. The true test, I felt, was going to be when we came to San Francisco. And, man, they just blew it.
Yeah, they did. And they got Bumgarner. And they got, the Cueto. They got Romo. We got Posey, and they got Pagan, and they got guys that can hit the ball. They got some guys that can hit the ball.
They're never out of it. Their bats came alive.
Hunter Pence can hit the ball. He's healthy now, dangerous. Again. What's his name?
Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence.
He's dangerous.
Yeah.
It was. I knew that San Francisco would be the true test.
Well, they blew 3 out of 4, and now they're coming home to face, I think it's 3 games against Arizona, and I think Greinke starts today.
Greinke starts.
Who's 0-2, by the way.
Yeah.
He's 0-2, man. Yikes.
I mean, we have a chance. But you know what? Everybody has watched him pitch. Most of the guys on the starting lineup have seen Greinke pitch last year.
They know what he can do.
They know what he can do, so maybe they'll have a little edge.
Yeah, that's a good point. And finally, the NHL playoffs start tomorrow, Wednesday. The Kings are at home against the Sharks on Thursday and Saturday. I'm not going to go to the Saturday game because I have that show in Ventura. But Thursday, I believe I'm going to go. Here's the lineup. Kings and Sharks, Ducks and Predators, Blues and Hawks, Stars and Wild are in the West. In the East, you have Panthers of Florida and the Islanders, Lightning, Wings, Capitals, and Flyers, and finally the Pens and the Rangers. That's in the East. T.S., here, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Really quick for the first round. Let's say Kings and Sharks. What's going to happen there?
Oh, we got the Kings.
How many Kings?
Kings are going to...
Five.
Five games. They're going to distance.
I'm saying five.
Oh,
I
it's
agree.
Five? Yeah. That one's going to go.
Ducks and Preds. Who's going to get that?
The Ducks. The Ducks are strong.
I agree. Oh, we'll probably put that. We'll probably put that in six. I'm going to put it in six games. Let's see. Blues and Hawks.
The Hawks.
Can't go against the Hawks. Can't go against them. You just can't. That's probably going to be a sweep. I'm going to say four. Stars and Wild.
I'm going with the Stars.
Me too, unfortunately. I'm going to say that's going to be a long series, six games. And in the East, you have Panthers and New York Islanders.
Oh, let's go with the Islanders.
I'm going to go with the Islanders as well. I'm going to say that's going to be six games. Lightning and Wings.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go the Wings.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay in five. Capitals and Flyers.
I was watching the Flyers play yesterday. Caps.
Caps in six. Penguins and Rangers.
The Rangers.
Rangers again. Yeah, I got them. Rangers in seven. It's going to be a seven-game series. They got, because Penguins have Malkin, and he's unhealthy, but he'll be back. And they got Crosby, and they got Kessel, and they got some guys that can put the puck in the net. So that's the first round of the Seneca playoffs, which starts tomorrow. Can't wait for that. It's 2.5 months of hockey bliss. Kobe Bryant's last NBA game is tomorrow at Staples Center against the Utah Jazz. Does anybody care?
No.
Anybody? Anybody? Hello? 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 Anybody?
People don't even care about the Lakers in L.A. anymore.
It's all about the Clippers. And then staying in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors are one win away from 73, breaking the Chicago Bulls' record of wins in a season. They're playing Memphis in Golden State. Do you think, T.S., they're going to break the record, or does Memphis put it to them?
I think they're going to get up for this one. History. They're going to make history.
I agree. Let's get some weed news, shall we?
Let's do it.
Weed news. The Weed News music theme, written, recorded, performed by Merle Haggard.
That's great. R.I.P.
Yep. I was at a festival and went up to country stage and recorded that on my iPod. Oh, my iPhone, sorry.
We should have had a little more slide guitar, but
I guess we didn't have the time. But what's going on in the weed and a lot? It sounds like you have a lot going on here.
I've got a lot. It's a little. It's not quite as upbeat as usual, but here we go. Hashtag
it's not
weed
bad
news.
Is it?
Not bad news. It's not right, bad news. Right, it's right, evolution. Good. Weed news. Hashtag weed news. Do you drive while medicated?
Always.
Well, lawmakers want police to be able to check. So, you know, with medical marijuana and legalization of recreational marijuana in the near future, California state officials are proposing a new technology to catch an increased number of motorists who drive while high. Legislation would allow law enforcement officers to use oral swabs to strengthen cases when a driver has failed a field sobriety test. And this is brought to you by the LA Times, by the way. So, a handheld electronic device would test for the presence of marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine,
Jesus,
painkillers, including opiates, from the swab. According to Republican Senator Bob Huff of San Dimas, who is the author of this bill.
Bob Huff. Huff.
Oh,
like huffing glue.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Bob Huff
has sponsored this bill. And it's backed by the Police Association and the California NARCs. So they want to be able to bust people for driving.
This is just in California, right?
This is just in California now. But it'll, you know, things start here and they catch on to the rest of the country.
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of bad news. It's going to take a long time.
It?
It's basically, well, here's some facts for you, so you be the judge. In 1996, California legalizes medical marijuana. In a study between 2009 and 2013, traffic incidents increased 40%, the number of drivers killed that tested positive for drugs. So there was a 40% increase during that time.
Now, what of these incidents were marijuana related versus meth and coke and heroin and fucking amphetamines or crystal meth or whatever?
You know, it's a... It's funny you mention that because they don't say specifically which drugs. It's like it's categorized in all drugs. Like,
yeah,
all.
But they got to break it down because
they should.
I'd rather be in a guy that's high in a car, like driving with a guy that's high, than on crystal meth or coke.
Yeah,
or a bunch of pills, or even drinking. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. But like, you know what I mean? Like, people that are high are fucking relaxed. They're in the zone. They're a little chilled out. I do understand that marijuana or THC, the chemical that gets you high, changes your mind, and it does alter your decision-making process and maybe slows you down a little bit. But still, I'd much rather be in a car with a guy who just smoked a joint than a guy who drank a 40 of Old English.
Yes. So we've got some more facts and statistics for you. After Colorado voters legalized recreational marijuana, drug-related deaths increased by 32% in 1 year. This is according to the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Enforcement.
Jesus.
Yeah, they could have come up with a better name.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty funny.
You know, there's going to be some people opposed to this, like myself and other medical marijuana advocates. Mm-hmm. You know, the technology is, right now, it's unsound, it's unproven, and there's no real evidence that an oral swabbing results have any correlation to driving impairment, according to Dale Granger of Normal.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, man, this is going to take some time because the science needs to be sound. Science is sound with drinking. You blow into the thing. You have a number. You're now arrested or not arrested. That's sound science. Yeah. This seems like a lot of gray area.
It's a little premature to launch this technology when there haven't been any controlled scientific studies.
Agreed.
And my advice to you, and I'm not a lawyer, never consent to this test.
Just say no. And call Darren Cavanoki. He'll take care of you. 1-800-NO-COPS.
Fight the power.
His commercials are rad. Did you hear this commercial?
Yeah, I love
it. He's like, it's legal to drink and drive. No, he said, it's legal to have a drink and then drive a car. That's totally legal. And it is.
Yeah. But
some states have zero tolerance rules. Not California. You can have one glass of wine with dinner and drive home and be fine. But the cops ask you all these questions, and then they try to give the prosecutor ammunition to bust
because
you.
The things you say can and will be against
and that's
you
what
in
he
a
said.
Court of law.
It is that. He goes, the right to remain silent only helps you when you exercise it.
Exactly. In the first 2 minutes of any encounter, you probably, if you don't shut your fucking mouth, you're going to give up some information that's going to end up being used against you.
Yep, 100%. So. Dude, this isn't bad news. It's just news.
It's just news.
It's going to take, I think, God, at least a year, year and a half, maybe longer for this to go through the system. The science, like I mentioned, is going to have to be proven and tested over and over and over again on humans. It's just too random.
If there's anyone listening in the Bay Area, specifically Oakland, they're using this technology now. As of the first, the police were, or you can... will ask you if you want to be swabbed, and then they'll swab you. So
this isn't legal, though. It can't hold any real weight in court, can it?
It does. If you consent,
this is before the bill was passed.
The bill hasn't been passed, but they're using the technology right now in Oakland.
But my question is, how can that be used without legislation in place? How can it be used to hurt you?
Okay, well,
probably can't help.
It's not going to help you, but they're unsuspecting people are being tested in Oakland and in cars. And if you don't know your rights and you don't know what's going on, then you're just a guinea pig in this human science experiment that is our government.
I got some advice too on this, TS. I'm also not a lawyer. If you want to hot box your car, totally cool. Hot box your car, but go someplace and park your car away off the beaten path, off the interstates. And just hotbox. Hotbox and go down the 10.
I've got a little saying. It's called one crime at a time.
That's a good one, TS. I'll drink to that. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Old English.
Oh, yeah.
Easy E would be proud. Want to hear another Merle Haggard ditty? Check this one out.
Lots going on in the world of music. News, news, news from the world of music. Music,
in your motherfucking face. Yeah. Yep, Merle Haggard wrote the theme for Music News as well, TS. Me and Merle were tight, dude. We were tight. That's why I'm really bummed out that he left us. But there is some Kesha news, and it's bad news. Judge tosses Kesha's Kate out on grounds of emotional trauma does not leave good enough paper trail. and a gigantic, huge setback for Kesha's legal battle to be freed from Sony contract. She claims ties her to Dr. Luke, her producer, a man who allegedly raped her and subjected her to decades of emotional abuse. A federal judge has dismissed Kesha's case on the grounds that her emotional trauma simply didn't leave a good enough paper trail. In a 28-page ruling issued Wednesday, Judge Shirley Kamerich decided in favor of Sony and Dr. Luke, an outcome that might have gone differently if Kesha would have only taken better steps and notes on her trauma. This girl just keeps getting beat down.
Yeah, it's a rough one. I mean, what are they saying? They should have documented her alleged sexual abuse.
Gone to the psychologist or gone to a doctor or maybe kept notes. I guess it wasn't a good enough paper trail, they said. Those are the exact words, a good enough paper trail. Oh, this is such a fucking nightmare. This poor girl. I mean, and last week, Dr. Luke said, I'll let you go if you say this and this, this and this, if you lie and say that. Like, and she's like, well, no, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to lie.
But this is probably her last step is federal court.
Like, she can appeal. She can appeal this. Yes. It's only a state ruling, so she can appeal it. Rapper Everlast from House of Pain has sent Donald J. Trump's campaign a cease and desist letter for the use of the song Jump Around. Stop using it. Not cool.
It's like, oh, he's not going to be able to use any music because most people are musicians are pissed off that they're using it. What's the deal? Can you? Okay, what is like fair use? 30 seconds?
No,
a minute. 10 seconds.
I think it's under 30 seconds. Under thirty seconds, you can use it and not pay a fee. That's why commercials are 30 seconds long. And okay. If you use this song for 28 seconds, you don't technically have to pay a ASCAP or a BMG or SOCAN fee. But, you know, when he walks out, it's being played for like a minute, minute and a half, almost a whole song. Yeah. So, I mean, but he does have to pay, technically have to pay an ASCAP fee, which isn't much. It's a statutory rate, but it's not that much money. It, to rappers like or musicians like Everlast, it's not a issue of money. It's an issue of principle.
Yeah.
I don't like you. You're a shithead. Stop using my song.
Stop using my song.
In other news, Nicki Minaj, the singer, rapper, whatever, actress, she said, quote, I don't want to be mean to people anymore. End quote. And that's good. It only took you 33 years to finally come to your senses and not be, quote unquote, mean to people. Because a lot of people have complained. She's had some wars with Mariah Carey, Britney Spears, and others in social media and pop in the pop world. So finally, she's looking at herself in the mirror and says, I'm going to stop being mean.
Evolution in progress.
Smoke a joint, Nikki. Relax.
Will her songs get any better?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
In other useless music news, Jessica Simpson, quote, this is good. Okay, good. This is going to be really good. Jessica Simpson, quote, my daughter might be wiser than me, end quote. My daughter might be wiser than me.
You think? I hope so.
You think, Jessica?
Who did she have a baby with?
It wasn't that guy, Kevin Federdine, was it? It was some other guy.
That was Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey. Yeah.
They had a baby?
They got a divorce, yeah.
I used to work for that guy.
Did you really? Yeah. I forgot. 98 Degrees. That's right. You worked for 98 Degrees.
That's where
your punk cred has gone out the window.
Oh, I know. Oh, dude, I sold out in around 1990.
Hey, money's money. It's all green. And I would have taken that job in 2 seconds if I were you.
It was great.
Props.
Was
good you got times. Music news? You got some stuff?
I do.
I see some ink on paper.
You know, music news for April 12th. 2000. We're doing some history here. Because if you don't know your history, you don't know your future.
You're doomed to repeat it.
There well, you go.
Do that. I'm going to go get some more beer.
All right. Perfect. Let's see. In April 12th, 2000, Metallica filed suit against Napster, Yale University, the University of Southern California, Indiana, and Indiana University for copyright infringement. So, you know,
I remember that. That was a shit show.
Yeah.
Lars is crying like a little baby. Wah! Wah! My publishing checks were only $350,000 for this month when they could have been $450,000. Wah! Wah! I remember that. Fucking guy.
Oh, man. Let's see. What a fucking asshole.
He's such a jerk. In my opinion. allegedly, in my opinion.
And I'd like to throw out a nice birthday shout out to an original emo, Will Sargent of Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, wow.
And cool. Brandon Yuri from Panic at the Disco.
Two emo guys.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to those guys.
And in some other unrelated music news, we got Coachella this weekend. But
yeah.
For those of you who are staying in town, we have Joachella at Johnny's Bar on York in Highland Park.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Joachella.
Joachella will be there all weekend bartending and yelling at you and whatever she does.
And playing and cool
playing
music.
Cool music.
Giving your opinions on EDM and serving you more drinks.
So go check out Joachella this weekend at Johnny's in Highland Park.
I think Joachella should be an annual event.
I should get some
t-shirts made up.
They're having t-shirts.
Oh, my God.
There will be t-shirts.
I love it. We broadcast from Johnny's in Highland Park right there on York, and it's a great place. It's a legendary place. It's one of the first and oldest dive bars in Los Angeles, but it's not bad. It's actually dope, and the people there are dope, and Joe's dope, and the place is amazing. So go check out Fuck Coachella. Who wants to see Guns N' Roses with Axl? I think he got a broken foot. I think he broke his foot in Vegas. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah, he's going to be like lame at Coachella.
Around.
Although Ice Cube would be sweet with a potential NWA reunion. That's pretty rad. But they'll be doing lots of other shows. But I don't really want to drive out to the desert. I'd rather drive to Highland Park and go to Joachella.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Hey, let's get to our interview. We're going to dive back into the hockey talk. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the whole fucking show should just be about hockey. But, you got to talk about other things. Bob McKenzie is one of the most revered and respected hockey commentators, analysts, not just in Canada for TSN Sports, but also for just the world. The guy is a walking encyclopedia. He knows every GM, every manager, every player, past and present, knows about trades before they happen, knows about injuries before they happen. He is incredible. He is at TSN Bob McKenzie on Twitter, and go to tsn.ca for all the information on what he does there at TSN. Talking hockey with the one and only Bob McKenzie on the Dangerous Darren Show.
Joined in conversation here at the Dangerous Darren Show with hockey commentator for TSN, Bob McKenzie. Hey, Bob, how you doing? It's been a long time.
Excellent, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Now, it's playoff time in the National Hockey League. I can imagine you've been very, very busy talking about the matchups and some of the games. And let's just jump right into it. They start this week, and everyone's really excited about it. Let's start in the East with the Capitals, the Penguins. You got Tampa Bay, the Islanders, the Rangers. My first question is, out of all these teams, which one do you think hockey fans fear the most, or the dark horse that might come out of the East? I mean, you look at the Capitals, they're pretty good. The Penguins are really good. The Panthers are doing great. But is there a team in the East, do you think, that might come from behind and shock a lot of people?
Well, you know what? I mean, you got Philly, Boston, and Detroit all battling for those final spots. I'm not sure when I look at any of those teams that they necessarily scream to me a team that would go deep into the playoffs. Just getting there might be the challenge for them. And yet, I think any of them are capable of winning an upset series. I normally might say the Tampa Bay Lightning would be that team, but they're so decimated with injuries. No Steven Stamkos, no Anton Strahlman for the first round of the playoffs and maybe longer. So, they lose kind of status as a dark horse because of their injury situation. The Islanders are also going through some injury problems and haven't played particularly well down the stretch for the most part. The Rangers have been fair to middle, and they're also, what's the situation with McDonough? What's the situation with Girardi? We've got some key teams in the East that are facing some key injuries that could really impact how they fare in the playoffs. But so for that reason, I think, you hit on the three teams to beat, if you will, at the top would be Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Florida Panthers. Those are the ones that kind of jump out at you as the legit contenders. And yet, there's always going to be questions asked about Washington because of their history, but I'm not sure why this edition of the Capitals should have to answer for the failures of previous regimes. Florida had a great regular season, but people wonder if they've got playoff staying power because, you like to have a better track record in playoffs, but boy, Florida's been really good this year. And Pittsburgh has really done a great job of overcoming the loss of Malkin and Fleury and being right there. So, maybe Pittsburgh's that team that nobody wants to play right now because they're so hot.
Yeah, I like the fact that Florida Panthers have Jagr, and he's won a couple cups, and they have Luongo. He's been to a cup final, so there is some history there with those two guys. And the Capitals, I mean, you look at their lineup, they're just stacked, right, with Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie and Williams, who has tons of playoff experience, and then the surprising great goaltending of Holtby. What do you think the Capitals need to do to finally get over the hump and get to a finals?
Well, obviously Holtby was really good early on, and he's been okay lately. They probably need him to be really on the top of his game. Obviously, they went out and really addressed their need for depth. Getting guys like Justin Williams and TJ Oshie really helped give them more offensive depth than they've had in the past, and they've been, over the last number of years, they've been building that defense. Before, it was Carlson and Alzner mostly, but when they added Orpik and Niskanen, that really helped, rearrange the slotting for everybody and gave them so much more depth on the blue line. So I think they just need to make sure they didn't lose their mojo in the final few weeks of the season when they were home and cooled out and everybody knew they were going to win the East. Everybody knew they were going to win the President's Trophy. It was almost a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But sometimes you wonder if they can rediscover the magic they had a little bit earlier. But I wouldn't be so quick to doubt them either.
Let's stay in the East and talk about a non-playoff team, Bob. My first love, as you know, is the Buffalo Sabres, and we all know about Jack Eichel and what he can do with the puck and without the puck at this point. And how bright is the future in Buffalo with the Sabres, and what do you think they need to do as far as picking up a few pieces to get over that hump and make the playoffs and maybe hopefully surprise a few people?
Well, I mean, they're on the right track. Eichel is a magnificent player. He's really terrific. Got dominant size. He's going to put up big numbers. You can see that this year. Only Panarin's got more goals and points than Eichel. And it's not just Eichel. I mean, Reinhardt's had an amazing year. He's got almost as many goals as Eichel does. And, they're going to continue to add to that stable of talented young guys. They're going to have a real good lottery pick here. And they're going to get another stud to put in their lineup. So it's a bit of a slow process, but they made a quantum leap this year in terms of the number of points they added to their point total. But it's one thing to go from being that doormat team that had really nothing going for it last year. Everybody thought they were basically tanking, and you add all these young players. But it's one thing to get better and show that point improvement, which they're doing, and continue to develop the kids like Eichel and Reinhardt, amongst others. It's another thing to get to the promised land of the playoffs, and that's where the points are harder to come by in a year or two down the road. But they're on the right track. I think General Manager Tim Murray's got a real good plan, and I think they're sticking to it.
I agree, and I think the future is bright. It's going to take them a couple of years to get to where they want to go, but people in Buffalo have been patient, and they will continue to be patient. Let's look at the West, Bob, the Kings, and you have the Stars and the Blues, Blackhawks and Ducks. Those are all the top teams out there that everyone looks at. I'm a Kings fan, and they're my second favorite team. I've lived in Los Angeles a long time. And they're really down for a long stretch. It's an even year. So they won the cup in 12, they won it in 14, and here we are in 16. if you believe in that kind of thing. Looking at the Kings first, do you think they have a shot to go deep, and what do you think they would need to do to go and win four rounds?
Well, I definitely think that they've got a shot to go deep, but here's the thing, and this is true of both divisions in the West. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you look at, if LA wins the division, they get to avoid San Jose in the first round, which is, I think a positive. But they know that if they do win the division, they're going to get either Anaheim or San Jose in the second round. That's nasty, especially if it's, LA Anaheim in the second round. Those are two legitimate cup contending teams that could easily go the distance. And to have to meet in the second round, and one of them to call it a season, which is going to be a dismal failure for somebody, that's crazy. Now, if they don't win the division, then they've got the Sharks in the first round, and that's not much fun either, although last time they met was historic with that 3-0 lead San Jose had, and LA coming back to win it and go and win the Cup. But, then you still have to face, potentially, Anaheim if they get through, if there's no upset in the first round, in the second round. So that's hard. And then you do the same exercise in the Central Division, whether it's St. Louis or Dallas in first place, assuming they advance. You know, that the loser of that Central Division, which is to suggest a second place team, gets the Chicago Blackhawks. How much fun is they going up against the defending cup champs in the first round of the playoffs and then having to play either St. Louis or Dallas in the second round? That's crazy. So I couldn't even begin to handicap how these races are going to go, but I do like the Kings. They're big. They're talented. Everybody knows they've got Quick. Doughty's right on top of his game, but so is Muzzin. I think they've enhanced their depth a little bit. They've been able to get some mileage out of a big body like Shen in that trade with Philadelphia. They kind of got him as a reclamation project, and I think he's been okay. And up front, they've added a little offensive depth with Versteeg coming off the injured list and giving them a little extra pop in their offense to go with the guys they've already got, like Carter and Toffoli and Pearson and Kopitar and the other guys.
Don't forget about the reacquisition or the reinsertion into the lineup of Gabrick once he gets healthy. And also Le Cavalier, a very surprising play of him. You mentioned the Chicago Blackhawks. Everybody fears Chicago. Of course, we know what they can do. We know they're a threat. Do you think going into the playoffs that their Achilles heel might be goaltending?
Well, if Crawford can't play, although I think he's healthier now, and you know, I don't think they're, if Crawford's healthy, then no, I don't think their Achilles heel is goaltending at all. I think they're fine. I think Crawford's one of the better goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and maybe doesn't get as much credit as a lot of the guys because of the team that plays in front of them. If anything, I would say their Achilles heel is having as many injuries as they've had down the stretch, and also not having Johnny Oduya as part of their top four. I think that changes the dynamic for Joel Quenneville. Last year, he always had Keith and Seabrook and Chalmerson and Oduya as a top four, and he could basically have some of those guys on the ice at all times, and he didn't have to rely very much on his third pair, and he could literally play four defensemen a lot of nights, or for a good chunk of the game anyways. And when they don't have Oduya, that kind of changed everything, and that's put more pressure on Trevor Van Riemsdyk, a younger guy, and some others on that blue line to try and reshape it. So I think that's the area of concern. I think up front they'll sort it out. Anisimov, Kane, and Panarin's been a great line all year. You know, Taves is going to be bringing it with Hossa, and Andrew Ladd will probably kick it up a notch. And as I said, now Andrew Shaw's health is a big concern, but if he's ready to go, they've got good depth. They got Kruger back to help their penalty kill. So I still think the Hawks can be a real dangerous team here, but that X factor is not having being as deep on the blue line as they were last year.
Right, I agree. The Dallas Stars, let's take a quick look at them real fast. Are they for real? Are they a threat? Do you think they could really win legitimately four rounds and win the Cup?
Well, they got to, you know, teams that haven't done it for a long time, they got to kind of prove they do it. So it's too easy, especially in the Western Conference, to look at L.A. and Chicago and these teams that have won multiple cups and envision a team like Dallas that's had a great year and have the twin threats of Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, if Seguin's healthy enough coming off the Achilles injury. You know, there's going to be question marks about their goaltending. And whether or not they'll be able to get the job done. So, you know, that's a big X factor for them. I mean, sometimes if you're rotating between two goalies, it's because you don't have one that you fully trust, but we'll see if they can overcome that. And, but they've got some real good offensive players. People wonder a little bit about their defense. But they tried to address that at the deadline with Russell, although he was injured there for a while. So they've got a lot to prove, but they certainly have some firepower and a real dangerous team to face.
Connor McDavid in Edmonton, we all know what he can do, barring his injury. He had a little stint there, but we all know the kind of player he's going to be. How long before the Edmonton Oilers have to take a serious look at their personnel and maybe trade off some of those first rounders to get some pieces like defensemen and a really solid goaltender and get over
that hump? I think that's the exercise that they'll be going through as soon as this season ends, and that Peter Chiarelli knows that they've got too much up front, and that the mix isn't as like he'd want it to be. But you know, the same token is, where do you go out and there's not a store where you go out and buy stud defensemen. Even if you are prepared to trade Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Nail Yakupov or Jordan Eberle, I would imagine they're going to take a real hard run again at the New York Islanders and see if Travis Hamonic, who's asked for a trade for personal reasons out of Long Island, if they could make that happen. And we'll see whether there's a fit there or not. That's a real hard trade for the Islanders to make, because Hamonic's so important to them, and his contract makes less than $4 million a year on a deal that's got years to run. So, but it may also be this is the time that they do have to move him. And if so, I'm sure a team like Edmonton will be first in line trying to knock down the door and get a real stalwart defenseman, shutdown guy that can play top pair minutes and show some of the kids like Darnell Nurse and Oscar Klefbom the way on the Edmonton blue line. So we'll see, but there's no question. I think there's a will and a desire on the part of Peter Chiarelli to move some of those guys up front to get help on the blue line or get bigger up front.
Yeah, Edmonton fans have suffered long enough, and hockey fans just in general, like myself, are looking at Edmonton every year at the bottom of the barrel, picking up these incredible hockey players, and they haven't made strides like the Buffalo Sabres have, and something's got to change. So I think what they need to do is exactly what you just said, and we'll have to keep a close eye on them going into the offseason. Before I let you go, Bob, I wanted to talk about that brand new arena in Las Vegas, if you've had a chance to see it at all. And what do you think of a hockey team in Las Vegas? Do you think they have any chance of success if the NHL were to go there?
Well, you know what? The only time I've just seen the arena from the outside as it was being constructed. Last time I was in Vegas was for the NHL Awards last June. And the outside of it was certainly close to completion. I know they were still working on the inside, and it's going to be ready to go here. If I had to guess, I'd say the NHL is going to expand to Vegas, whether it's in a year or two. But we'll see. The NHL hasn't made any commitment on that front. As for whether it'll work, they've certainly got a committed owner in Bill Foley. They've got a good arena. We always have our doubts about expansion franchises when they're, especially in non-traditional hockey markets. But I think it's worth a roll of the dice. And besides, Darren, come on. Who in the NHL family doesn't want to go to Vegas for a road trip?
Nice choice of words there at the roll of the dice, by the way. I would be interesting to see a professional sports team of the top four in North America make their way to Las Vegas. It would be an interesting experiment to see what kind of success they'd have there. Also, something that you need to think about is, how do coaches and player personnel guys in other NHL teams tell their players, hey, the game's over, we won, don't get drunk and go to the casinos. They're going to have to come up with some kind of protocol to keep their players in line to not go out and enjoy Vegas like they normally do.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right. Although, I got to be honest with you, if players are going to go out and find trouble, they can find it anywhere.
they can find it just as easily in Columbus as they can find it in Vegas.
And then that goes double for the media that covers the games, too.
All right, Bob, it's good to hear your voice again. I'll definitely catch up with you at some point in the middle of the playoffs, and look forward to a long cup run, and I appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Darren. Appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Cheers.
Talking playoff hockey with the one and only Mr. Bob McKenzie from TSN Sports in Canada. He knows his stuff. Hit him up on Twitter and follow him on Twitter, because if you like hockey even remotely, the guy knows what's going on before it even happens. At TSN, Bob McKenzie knows his stuff.
That dude's been covering hockey since like the 80s, like 86 or a long time. Do you know who his favorite player is?
Wayne Gretzky?
Tim Horton.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that. Shit. Awesome.
All right.
Cheers to Bob McKenzie. We change it up, folks. We're not drinking Old English 800 anymore, the malt liquor. I am drinking Sapporo, the premium Japanese brand, and you have
Samuel Smith's Old Brewery Organic Pale Ale.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bob McKenzie and the playoffs that start tomorrow. 2.5 months of playoff bliss.
Yeah. Man.
Now, you know what Sapporo tastes like. Let me give that a little shot.
All right. I'm going to try it anyway.
Let me give that a little go around. Good color, good body.
Yes, how's the nose?
Good aroma. It's from Thousand Oaks.
No,
it's local.
No, it's not.
I think it's a Thousand Oaks.
No, it's from fermented in Old Stone Yorkshire Squares, a product of the UK.
was going to say, that sounds so English.
Good Lord, the organic pale ale.
That's good stuff.
Give us the grease. Give us the grease to shit our pants.
Also, TS, I got to mention, earlier today, you were mean TS to me. You're a little snappy.
You know.
That was non-high TS.
This is true. There's definitely 2 to 3 different people inside this head.
High TS I don't like. And I think I've only experienced non-high TS maybe 5% of the time.
Yeah, that's true. I don't like it. Nobody does.
Okay, well, we got to work on keeping you medicated.
I had to drive from the west side, man, and you know how that gets. And then I didn't smoke because I don't want to have my mouth swabbed when I'm pulled over.
Exactly. you were in Oakland, so you didn't have a problem.
So there. I came in and, I get a little snappy.
Well, luckily, it was it's a blue moon situation. It's one in a lifetime. But cheers to cheers. High TS. Here we go.
High TS.
Congratulations go out again to Danny Willett for winning the green jacket for the Masters. Much respect to Merle Haggard, country legend. I don't care if you like or don't like country music, but you got to like Merle Haggard because that guy was badass. Thanks to Bob McKenzie at TSN. For coming on and talking playoff hockey. Hit him up on Twitter at TSN Bob McKenzie. Thanks to Blue Microphones. Thanks to Roland Drums. TS is on Twitter, and he is at Burn H-Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99, and the show is at Dangerous_D_Show. Next week, TS, do you know Biebs from Biebs and Her Moneymakers?
Well, we met once.
She's a great gal.
Sweetheart. Real sweet.
Sweet girl, knows her stuff, really smart, and great songwriter. We're going to have her on talking about what's all the things that she does. And we're going to also have music from Biebs and Her Moneymakers. And TS, on a side note, ska music is really hard to play well. It's easy to play, but not easy to play well. And as far as modern ska bands, not excluding Real Big Fish or Less Than Jake or even to a lesser degree Goldfinger, they're leading the way. As far as the modern ska bands that are really doing it well. So I'm stoked to have her on the show talking about what she's involved in and music from Biebs and Her Moneymakers. Also, in the coming weeks, or maybe even the week after next, we're going to have skateboarding legend Tony Hawk on the show. And me and you, in the first week of May, are going down to San Diego and skateboarding with Tony Hawk.
That I cannot wait. We're going to put the whole thing on Periscope.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do the whole thing.
Oh my
Periscope.
God, I'm going to get so many fucking hits.
Yeah.
I don't have an account you do, but we'll do it. And fuck, that's going to be dope. Tony Hawk, he's going to have me on a serious radio show. We're going to do an interview. And then me and you are going to hit the ramp.
That's awesome. He's one of my childhood heroes.
Yeah, me too.
I can't wait.
I'm going to see if I can outdo him and do a 950. I'm going to add 50 more degrees.
I'm going to do a 951.
It would be a 980. Wouldn't it be 980? Another 80 degrees? Or 990.
990. All right, I'm going to do a 991.
You're going to land just 1 degree off.
And just probably eat shit.
We talked about the Pro Skater game. We talked about Goldfinger Superman. We talked about skateboarding. We talked about punk rock. We talked about all kinds of cool stuff. Can't wait to have him on the show and to hang out with him. TS, thank you so much. My thanks go out again to Bob McKenzie at TSN. Go Kings go for a long playoff run, and I'll see you at the Staples Center for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, TS.
Yeah. Go Kings go. Go Doyers.
And smoke them if you got them. Cheers. See you next week, folks.
I love emo Kylo Ren.
I love Lonesome Luke.